I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heads or tails, Gator?
Tails.
Gator calls tails. Tails it is. Would you like to receive or defer?
I'd like to receive.
Oh, aggressive Gator. I like it. Here we go. Real quick, real simple, real easy. Question number one, is Nebraska back?
They're not all the way back, like national championship back, but they're back. They have an easier schedule in the Big Ten this year. They the only ranked teams they play are they play Ohio State and USC, and they're both on the road. This is a good Nebraska team. They're well coached, okay? First of all, the coach is good. It was going to take them a little bit of time, and this is happening perhaps quicker than people thought, particularly with a true freshman quarterback in Dylan Raiola. But Dylan Raiola is really, really good. I'm very impressed by him. I'm impressed by their defense, and they are playing inspired football, and they have a great fan base. I think they're back.
This question gets asked every few years with Nebraska football, whether it be Callahan or Pelini or Frost, or this is just the first time we're asking it with Matt Rhule as the head coach. Are they back? Well, landing the Raiola kid, the quarterback's probably the most important Nebraska recruit in the last 10 or 15 years because he's a legacy five-star quarterback who had committed elsewhere, and now he could become the Pied Piper of this sort of flat-line blue blood college football program. I think it's too early to say they're back. UTEP lost to Southern Utah, so that's one of their wins, and Colorado could be a total mess when it's all said and done. But they got some program momentum, and Nebraska might be more than just a volleyball school. So I don't think they're back yet, but if I were a Nebraska fan, I'd be very encouraged.
Yeah, it's too soon to say they're back. And to me, honestly, even it takes more than one class to say you're back. I mean, this is a great start. This cosplay Mahomes quarterback they got out there, he looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought actually Matt Rhule would get it done a little earlier. Maybe my expectations are way high, but I'm a big fan of Matt Rhule. But I think once he gets this rolling and then we talk about the next class, then we can say they're back, but not quite yet. All right, following Auburn's loss to Cal last Saturday, quarterback Peyton Thorne was on the Next Road podcast, and he said that bettors have contacted him on Venmo, requesting him to refund money that they lost on their Auburn bets. Your thoughts on this?
My first thought is, can I contact Major League Eating and Joey Chestnut and like try and get some money because they...
You want your hot dog back?
I'm really upset for them having me return. This is absurd, okay? Blaming other people when you made the bet. Nobody forced you to make the bet. I mean, whose bad is it? Is it your bad judgment? I know, and Thorne had a good attitude. I went and watched the podcast. He had a good attitude about it. But this is it's crossing a line. It's crazy. People need to leave, especially college athletes alone, but you kind of really... And I get it when you're in the stadium and you boo them and heckle them a little bit. But outside of that, they're people, man. Lay off.
Yeah, I mean, this is the betting aspect. This is the ugly side of it. And one of the ugly sides you can see from it. I don't like this. It's another reason for me not to get Venmo.
like, is people going to harass you, Gator?
How do people get his account? I don't know. I'm glad I don't know how it works. But I assume you have to give out your account for people to get your account. So somehow fans got his account. That's ridiculous. Fanatics suck, okay? That's not good. They give fans a bad name. But the other thing in this, I wish he didn't address the betting aspect, like saying he said something to the effect of, whether it was joking or not, but he said that, nobody gives me money when I win bets for them. Don't even mention that. Just stay away from that because that's the whole thing that people get upset and then they're like, oh, is there improprieties here? No, it was just like... It was a comment like Aiden Childs shouldn't have made that comment a couple weeks ago. Don't make a comment about this at all. But this whole situation is ridiculous.
Well, welcome to getting in bed with sports betting and, big NIL contracts and players getting essentially paid. Listen, you guys know I say this all the time. First of all, fans are crazy. College football fans, y'all are even crazier. And guess who's crazier than you? Sports betting guy, okay? So when you mix all that together, not a good, it's not going to come out good for anybody because someone's always going to lose a bet. There's a winner and there's always a loser. So someone's going to be pissed off. This is what it's come to, though. If you want, it's all about money nowadays. And unfortunately for the player, because I don't think they deserve this, this stuff is going to happen. All right. Four former Michigan players are suing the NCAA and the Big Ten Network for lost NIL revenue. What are your thoughts on this?
This is annoying as hell. I mean, I'm sorry the rules changed after you left schools, and I don't know if all the guys entered the pros, but a couple of those guys definitely played in the pros for a while. This bothers me to no end. I wish that they would simply appreciate what they were given as scholarship athletes at the time, recognize things have changed, and okay, hey, your dreams and aspirations of getting paid while you were in college above board, that didn't happen for you while you're there. It happens for these guys now. It's just the way it is, man. Let it go. It's you're not entitled to that money.
Well, I'll just say this. The moment they pass this NIL ruling, I'm like, I know what's going to happen next. And I think this is going to be the first of thousands. And if they, where's the money going to come from if they have to pay everybody that ever played? And I just think it's somewhat unrealistic to think that this could possibly happen. And I think they'll probably lose the case.
Yeah, I think this is dumb. I mean, they're trying to be the next Ed O'Bannon's here. I mean, when they signed up to play football at big-time colleges, especially Michigan, right? And I'm talking to anyone that's on board with this. You know, you're trying to be on TV, actually. Maybe one of the biggest reasons you signed with that program is
sign with a school.
Is because you're going to be on TV. Where did you think they got all that money from to give you scholarships and update the weight room and things like that? TV. So, yeah, maybe moving forward, they can talk about this, but it sounds to me like if you want something like that, you're going to have to get together a union, kind of like the NFL does, and I don't know if that's possible or not, but sorry, too late. Move on. All right, Colorado, a disappointing loss at Nebraska. It's only year two, but is it ever going to work big time for Deion and Boulder?
I'm not a believer when you basically build almost your entire roster on the portal. I think it leads to very transient relationships, and it's hard to let roots grow to coach kids. And I got to tell you, the way Deion sort of acts, I can't help but think the moment his sons are gone, he's gone. And so I would bet against it. The thing is, I've been rooting for him, and I like watching Colorado games because it feels like there's always something going on, whether good or bad. It's either a thing of beauty or disaster. But you know, I would bet against it working right now.
I love Deion and I want to root for him, but the longer this thing goes on, the way that he's done it, I don't think he's building anything. And maybe it's me not being closely associated with the Colorado football program to notice what they do in recruiting, but you can't help but notice all the transfer portal guys. And what's going to happen when his sons and Travis Hunter leave? Because that's what's going to happen real soon, right? After this season, Shedeur Sanders is gone and Travis Hunter is gone. Now what? I know they have like five or six scholarship quarterbacks, or they got five or six quarterbacks on the roster anyway. And a lot of those guys, they're sophomores and freshmen. But I don't know if any of those guys is four or five star caliber. And what you had with Shedeur Sanders is a guy who got the ultimate coaching. I mean, he'd been working with the Mannings and all these other great quarterbacks. I mean, he's been tutored by the very best. These other guys aren't. So, I mean, I wanted to succeed, but I just don't see it happening. Because he's not building.
I don't know if it's going to, but I definitely think it can because they have the resources. I think Deion, take away all the, you know, the theatrics and stuff, I think he is a good coach. We'll see how he does without, you know, the two-star players you guys mentioned leaving, but you can't do it all in transfer portal, you're right. But I think Deion Sanders, the name right there, he can recruit. I think they have the resources with alumni and boosters. So I think it can happen. I'm just not sure. Well, and these things do take time. We'll see how he does after the two-star players leave. All right, Notre Dame loses to Northern Illinois. Is Marcus Freeman in trouble?
Yep. He's the coach of Notre Dame, isn't he? You're always in trouble if you're the coach of Notre Dame. And particularly if you lose to Northern Illinois after you lured them to come in with a $1.6 million payout and then you lose on national television to the Huskies of Northern Illinois, that's not good. I like Marcus Freeman a lot. I think he might be one hell of a defensive coordinator. I don't know if he's a hell of a coach. I like his demeanor. Every time you see him in an interview, I think he's awesome. I think I would like to play for this guy. But the standards are set so high at Notre Dame, you better exceed them. And when you are Notre Dame and you have all of those resources, you got to win. And with their schedule this year, now they got to run the table to make the playoff because their schedule is a joke.
Last year's losses for Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame were to Ohio State, Clemson, and one other big boy. I can't remember who it was. But the year before, remember, they lost to Marshall. And now they got a Northern Illinois loss. Look out for Miami of Ohio in 2 weeks. because I right now, if I'm the AD at Notre Dame, I'm supporting my guy, and I am kind of in the back of my mind going, the hell? You know, these are you can't lose to those teams repeatedly. It's going to happen every once in a while. Got it.
You're Notre Dame. You're going to get everybody's best shot.
And you're going to lose to the big boys every once in a while, but these are ones, when you start stacking these up, it's a problem.
Yeah, I don't think he's in trouble yet. They can still make the playoffs. I mean, yeah, running the table is actually very realistic for Notre Dame. I think they can do that. They can still make, with the new playoff format, I think just get into the playoffs, do some damage there. Yeah, it might be rocky now. You can't lose to Northern Illinois. Well, you don't want to make that.
Lost Northern Illinois. Yeah, if that's the only loss in your schedule, it's still there.
I mean, I still think they get in if they run the table. But yeah, you don't want to make that thing a habit, losing to those type of teams. But I think, get over this. Look past it. These things do happen. I don't think he's in trouble yet.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, last one. Wisconsin hosts Alabama this Saturday, big noon kickoff. Badgers, a 16-point underdog. Can they pull off the upset?
I so want to say yes. And prior to the season, I wanted a bold-ass prediction, Wisconsin over Bama. It doesn't feel to me like a vintage Wisconsin team built on a great rushing attack. Ches Malusi continues to put up mediocre numbers. Cade Yakimeli, remember the name. He might be their new great running back. But I think they can keep it close, but I don't think they can beat Bama.
Guys, they have no shot. They've gotten off to a slow start against weak teams, and we've seen what Bama can do. Bama can roll when they need to roll. They rolled in the fourth quarter last week when things got a little tight against South Florida. They smoked their opening opponent. The Alabama team's going to just keep improving all season long, and they're just going to take it to Wisconsin.
I'm going to give you the breakdown here. No. Not happening, guys.
And that concludes the Transfer Portal NIL Live Animal Mascot Trophy Game thingy.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.